Unfortunately, we're here, guys. We're here. So the purpose of this podcast is to explore bit digital and print media, all sources we reference owned by the respective companies, Sony, and reflect no biases of corporate agendas. Your discretion's highly advised.
All right, so I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meet Meets presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so we're bringing back not a segment, but an overall show format that we haven't done in a while. So it's called the Deconstruction Reconstruction. We've done a few trial runs before. We've done it on the main pod, mostly done it on our Patreon. I'll get more in depth with it a little bit later as we break it down. But today we're targeting is the correct word. We're focusing on Sony's Spider-Verse, which also had an alternate name to it, which we'll get into later. So we're just going to take a look at the different aspects of the Sony Spider-Verse, starting from very first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man up until the recent Madame Web debacle. So with that, Meech, what are your initial thoughts before I kind of break down what the deconstruction reconstruction is?
Well, firstly, I don't know why in the world you brought me for this episode. I know I'm the second co-host, but you could have just had Afro Puff Samurai in my place. As a matter of fact, you could have just had Meech from Earth 42 here. He'll probably do much better than I am right now. But yeah, the spump, the Sony Spider-Verse, I can't even so much that, and their highs. And then there are lows, and then there's the depths of the underworld. And we're going to see what happens when we come across those three avenues. And as a certain god of destruction, as our goat once said, before creation, there must come destruction.
All right. So a few others, just to kind of give an idea of like visualizing what we're talking about with this, that we tackled were the Star Wars sequel series, that trilogy. Hold it together, Meech. We had the Trashtastic Four, or as you like to call it.
Fantastic.
And then we also did Spider-Man, a comic, One More Day, which hurt both of our souls. So this is the second Spider-related deconstruction, reconstruction. But essentially the goal is to work together to save, reboot, or redo a movie, TV show, comic, game, etc. In this case, it's an entire franchise, which is going to be very interesting. The idea and is it for it's something that's universally panned or failed to live up to expectations. So just to break down the rules, each person gets three vetoes. So a veto cancels an idea or proposal from other hosts. And when I give when one of us gives a veto, you hear this sound. And then each person gets three lock-ins, which supersedes a veto. So with that, to avoid pettiness, we're going to try to avoid the sayings, if you veto this, I'm just going to lock it in. And then if you veto X, then I'm just going to veto Y. So, particularly agreed upon idea, you don't want to do that. The goal is to work together for this. So for the case study, we are doing the Spider-Man Sonyverse, all the movies with this. Again, Spider-Man 2000 through the Madame Web. So with the initial part of it, we give some highlights. So obviously the studio is Sony. Usually when we do a movie, a TV show, or a comic book, we give props or at least highlight who the director is, who's the writer, all that jazz. But essentially, we're just going to break down all the films. So with that, we have Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 1 through 3. We have The Amazing Spider-Man 1 through 2. Technically, the Tom Holland ones are Sony ones. But it's really MCU, but we're going to give it to Sony. With that, we have Venom 1 through 2. There is a third one coming out, but since it hasn't come out, we're not going to touch any of that. Morbius, Madame Web, and then Kraven the Hunter. Again, that's what's supposed to come out last year. It's coming out later this year. I have hopes. I don't know if the hopes are high or low. So with that, we also have the Spider-Verse films, which are peak animation. So breaking down next, we go to the box office numbers. So there are so many movies that it was kind of hard to research it all and get it compiled. And then we have at least 20 plus years of movies. So the MCU movies alone made about $4 billion approximately at the box office. So we're saying 15 to 20 billion as a light range for it, plus money off the backs of that, selling the movies and then all of that. audience critic reaction. This is going to be interesting. So with that, Meech, just say hit or miss, and then you can touch on some what you want to do later. All right, the first two Spider-Man movies.
Hit.
The third Spider-Man movie.
Okay, I think it's a hit, but it is definitely in the more mid-range for a lot of people. So many memes came out of it. I consider it to be it's okay.
But the venom that you have for the movie is because of one reason.
Miss.
That's the way you talk about it. All right, so this is going to be interesting, and I have a question based off of it later. Amazing Spider-Man 1.
I think it's actually kind of a hit. I'm not even going to lie about that.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
And went straight to a miss.
All right, so I'm going to talk about failed projects that were also planned later. Venom, the first one.
Hit. Absolute
Venom.
Hit.
Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Disappointing. I'll leave it at that. Just disappointing.
All right. And then Across the Spider-Verse.
You already know it better be a hit.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Hit all day. We don't touch those movies.
All right. The MCU film. All three.
We don't touch them. Hit.
Morbius.
Still haven't seen to this day, so that lets you know. Miss.
And Madam Web.
I am not the only clips I've seen of that movie are from YouTube and TikTok. I ain't seeing that movie. It is a hit. It is the bottom of the barrel. We going straight to the underworld with that one.
All right. So with this, we are going to get into some of the backstory with that. That's the next portion of the highlight in this section. So Meech, can you kind of kickstart how Sony got the rights to Marvel? Any other interesting backstories that have occurred over the past 24 years?
Yeah, so when it comes to essentially how Sony got Spider-Man, well, in the 90s, it was pretty much a bad time for comic book studios in general. And because of such, right, Marvel actually declared bankruptcy, Chapter 3 bankruptcy. And as such, they had to sell off a bunch of their comic book rights in order to ensure that they had enough money to stay afloat. And unfortunately, they ended up selling their biggest franchise of all time, Spider-Man, to Sony. And by selling their rights to Sony, they sold the movie rights. Actually, no. They sold both the movies and the TV rights, but then they got the TV rights back. But yeah, so because of that, essentially, Sony, when they got the rights, they wanted to start capitalizing immediately. You have producers Avi Arad and Amy Pascal, who basically tried to helm up as many Spider-Man projects as they can. As you can tell, none of them lifted off the ground until Sam Raimi came in and did the Spider-Man trilogy, which, as we know, history.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so when it comes to that, after the trilogy's over, and then the Amazing series came in, then that's when the two of them started trying to colluding to make their own universe, because by the time the Amazing movies came out, the MCU was doing gang numbers. And because of that, Sony decided, okay, hey, we got the highest property of all time. Let's go ahead and make our own MCU for Spider-Man. And what are we going to title it? Or Sony Pictures Universal Marvel Characters, also known as Spunk. First of all, let me just go ahead and tell you guys right now that name is absolutely horrendous. That name is down tremendous. That name is, thankfully, it is discontinued, but good heavens, that name was horrible. I'm not even going to lie to you about that. Yeah, and because of that, again, a whole bunch of different projects that they were going to mention. You want me to touch upon many of the projects that they wanted to try to do?
Before you do that, can you mention the loaning to the MCU? And then we can get into the messy.
All right. So after Amazing Spider-Man 2 came and went, essentially, Sony was down tremendous. And again, and that was when Kevin the Go Feige, he saw the opportunity. He saw that Sony was down horrendous at the moment, and as he was down tremendous with critics, with money. So they said, you know what? Hey, listen, you don't have to give us the rights, the full rights to Spider-Man, but instead you can like loan us the characters, and as such, we can have Spider-Man in the MCU, and we can have and like you guys can help like produce like the Tom Holland trilogy, like have that within the MCU as well. But you guys get to create it, and then we both profit from it. And of course, they decide to agree to those terms. But another thing about that is the fact that, as you can tell, they cannot like produce just straight up another Spider-Man because they technically have one in the form of Tom Holland's. So they could not use any other Spider-Man at the time unless you started getting to other media, aka Miles. So yeah, that's pretty much the origins of like them loaning Spider-Man to them, to which as of right now, I think they still technically are in the midst of the deal. But only time will tell if they're going to capitalize on that.
To my knowledge, I believe I heard this, is that they have to have a new project in production every, like in between like 3 years and 9 months. They have to be like filming another movie, which is one reason why we're getting so many projects at this time. And then, like you mentioned, they're not doing a Spider-Man. So like, that's why they're trying to build out different. But before that, we can get into the messiness of it all.
All right. So technically this all dates back to the Amazing Spider. Well, actually, no, it even goes back even further than that to Spider-Man 3. I'm not even going to hold you. Actually, it even goes before that, but technically that movie was not even part of it. So after Spider-Man 3, they wanted to do a Venom movie. Technically, they wanted to do a Venom movie in the 90s with Dolph Lundgren as Eddie Brock. And the script of the movie is actually found online, and it's kind of eh. But in any case, like they tried to do a Topher Grace Venom movie after Spider-Man 3, which millions of questions as to how in the world that could have worked, considering what happened to him in Spider-Man 3, getting, you know, pumpkined. But yeah, so they tried to do that. Of course, that didn't get anywhere. And then after the Amazing Verse come in, they was like, okay, this is where we start trying to build out our Sony Verse. And what they tried to do, they tried to build out a Sinister Six movie.
Oh, I wanted that so bad.
And in Amazing Spider-Man 2, part of the reason why it kind of is downtrodden is the fact that they basically tried to shoe in the Sinister Six. As you know, six of Spider-Man's rogue getting together, tried to go run his pockets. So they were trying to make a Sinister Six movie, keyword, without Spider-Man. Because at the time, like, it was just what it is. Trying to build out a Sinister Six movie without Spider-Man in it, and then have Spider-Man fight the Sinister Six. So yeah, they tried to do that. They tried to do this movie called Silver and Black, which was supposed to be a Silver Sable and Black Cat movie together. Again, no Spider-Man. And then they tried to do an Aunt May movie.
Come on, man.
And what makes it even worse is the fact that apparently this Aunt May was supposed to like take the place of Peter Parker's parents, because you know Peter Parker's parents are international super spies. If you saw like Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, so they were supposed to be international super spies. May was also supposed to be one, so they were gonna do a movie based on her during her time in S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm like, but nah.
I never heard of this idea about the Aunt May movie.
Oh, nah, it gets absurd at a certain point. It gets absurd. Now, again, they doing stuff like the Kraven movie. That was going to be its own thing in the, like, back in the Amazing Spider-Man verse. Of course, you start seeing it now, but keep it going. But, yeah, so, it's, fortunately, Kevin Feige decided to say, nah. We cutting all that out. So, thankfully, Kevin Feige did his thing, and then you see what happened afterwards.
All right, so yeah, and then I believe Spider-Man 4 and Amazing Spider-Man 3 they were aiming to do, but since like the previous movies all kind of crashed and burned, they had to like reset. So with that, personal feelings about the progression of the universe, How did you feel as it progressed?
So by progress, you mean felt my soul just completely get ripped out of my chest time and time again? Absolutely. See like when it's Tobey Maguire, like again as a kid, first time seeing Spider-Man on the screen, man, my heart rate was going up. It was going up. We was in hype tier. Spider-Man 3, again, at the time I was a kid, so I loved Spider-Man 3. I loved Black Suit. I love being a goat. But then Venom happened and then crashed and burned. But yeah, and then Amazing Spider-Man, I was like, okay, it's not the same thing, but you know what? I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a chance. I like it. And then Amazing Spider-Man 2 happened and went right back down in the dirt. Then Tom Holland happened, like, okay, cool. We coming back. Sure, like, I'm older now, and I'm like, I don't appreciate him acting like a whole child. I want my Spider-Man to be like a whole, being a Spider-Man, not Spider-Boy, but everything's all right. And then we hit peak with No Way Home. I'm like, have me in actual tears. Have me in theaters 5 times. I'm not even going to hold you. Venom happened. I'm like, okay. This is where the controversy is. Because the Venom movie, no Spider-Man at all, but there's no logo on his chest. There's no, like, reference to Spider-Man at all. I'm like, technically not Venom, but you know what? We can make it work. And then Null happened. And I was like, okay. That's how you do it. You make Null. Unfortunately, Null's nowhere in sight right now. But
in the comics. For listeners, that's in the comics.
Yeah, that's in the comics. There's no mention of Null right now.
You might hear Null later in the show, though.
Oh, no, you definitely will. You will hear no bad boy. But yeah, so I'm like, okay, everything's going all right. Everything is going and it's progressing, right? But here is the thing. All of the ancillary movies happened, and each one past Venom, Let There Be Carnage, it went from peak to cliff in the valley, steep drop off, you know how it is in math, like you get like a straight line to a plateau and then drop straight to zero.
Yeah.
That's how it was after that movie came out. And then that's where it continued to be. I do not count Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse in that section because they are back in the peak era, but everything live action just went nosedive.
And then just for the final part of the highlights, what was good about these movies and like what they did well before we take it apart? For me, obviously the first two, like the second Spider-Man movie is like one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. Before No Way Home came out and then we got into like deep into the Infinity Saga, like it was like my unquestioned number one superhero movie of all time. But now it's like floating in the top three. With that, Spider-Man 3 I didn't hate for the time when I saw it. I've only seen it twice and both was like when I was much younger. So I appreciated it. It was definitely cringe the way they treated Toby's character with wearing the black suit and not used to like what I've seen before. Amazing Spider-Man 1 I actually enjoyed. Amazing Spider-Man 2, surprisingly I enjoyed it. They did try to do a lot. That's why I was saying like I was really hyped for the Sinister Six, but they did try to do a lot in that single movie. And then obviously, I don't have to talk about like the Spider-Verse movies. Venom, obviously, I feel like Eddie Brock, Tom Hardy carried that movie. And then just, yeah, I can't say anything about Morbius or Madame Web. So anything briefly want to get to, because I know you want to perform Hawkeye on.
Nah.
All right.
Before creation comes destruction.
All right, so for the next part, probably the most fun part is for one of us is the deconstruction. So this is where we kind of point out obvious flaws in the movies, creative failings, poor character casting decisions, marketing, bad story beats, the timing of the movie. And then I have a big question that we usually don't ask, but since it's a bigger universe, I do have one. So for this, Meech, do you want to do the entirety of the Sony Spider-Man universe or just the post MCU alone?
All right, so here's my thing, because like I literally, for me, right, first two Spider-Man movies, we can leave those alone.
Yeah, we're not touching that.
Spider-Man 3, I have a few tweaks to, and it can work.
We agree.
Amazing Spider-Man, I can actually leave alone.
First one is fine.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, however, needs to get the Hawkeye trick.
All right, let's jump in.
All right. So pick your poison. All right, let's start with Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 3, I think the big thing is just you don't need to include Venom. It's going to tie in. One of the main problems with this entire thing is studio interference.
100%.
Spider-Man 3 and Spider-Man 2, if you ask literally the director, Sam Raimi, of Spider-Man 3, and then Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man 2, the studio interfered a lot to try to make something bigger than it is if you want to take over.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, with Spider-Man 3, right, it was supposed to be just Harry and Sandman.
Which would have worked.
Yeah, and it would have worked just fine, right? In fact, it already had themes of revenge in there, but of course, studio decided to say, hey, you know, Venom pretty popular, right? Hey, let's go ahead and add the black suit in there. And Sam Raimi has even stated that he has not, like, read any Venom-related stuff. He's not, like, too big a fan of Venom. But, of course, studio twisted his arm and forced him to add him in there. And you added him in there with him not recognizing the basis of the character. That's essentially as much of a cardinal sin as having someone direct a comic book movie without ever actually reading the comic book of a certain character. Dang. Did I hit a certain nerve there? Good. All right. Good. So when it comes to that, right, main fix with Spider-Man 3 is, of course, remove the Venom parts in there. Mm-hmm. But if you're forced to have the black suit in there, have him keep the black suit for, like, after he gets it to the end of the movie, have him remove it, and then have Spider-Man 4 be Venom.
That works.
Boom. Done. And also, do not cast Topher Grace. After that, you will be good.
All right, Spider-Man 2. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Amazing Spider-Man 2. Very much the same thing. Firstly, the Rhino, out of nowhere. Nah, get him out of here.
Let's not make him a mechanical robot?
Boy.
There's another thing with characters in that movie. Why are we making Electro blue?
Well, technically, the ultimate version of Electro is blue, so that I don't have issue with.
Kind of like how the Goblin is like a mutation of a sickness rather than just like the in the first Spider-Man movie.
Oh, no, absolutely no. That was definitely just came up straight for this movie. And that was going to be my next thing. All right. So you just going to have Norman Osborn be teased in the first movie and then go kill him off in the second. Nah. You going to have me tweak out. You have me crashing out right now. Harry Osborn, get out of here, boy. Like, you fine as is. Dane DeHaan, you a good actor. But boy, as soon as you goblined out, it was wraps for you. Cause there ain't no way. Get the goblin out of here. Also, any teases for anything in the upcoming verse, get that out of here. So that tease of Doc Ock, Vulture, and all Mysterio and all of them in that movie, get rid of it. Have it primarily be a focused story of Gwen and Peter. And their will they, won't they, with Electro in there, have them build up the relationship between the two so that way in the third movie it comes crashing and burning down and with Norman Osborn being the one to take her out. And also, I don't know if you noticed, remember this, for Amazing Spider-Man 2, they had Shane Lee Woody, the main girl from the Divergent series. She was casted and she filmed scenes as MJ in that verse. Mm-hmm. But they cut all her scenes out.
Yeah.
Bruh, look, if you want there to be a love triangle in the second movie, you could have. And then have it revealed that, like, Peter loves Gwen more than MJ and have MJ get friend zoned. It would have been fun. In fact, have her go with Harry and then. Like, have her with Harry, all right? Like they do in the comics. And then in the third movie, kill off Gwen. And then, boom. Then, boom, you got a...
You settle for second place.
Hey. Actually, in the comics, she took it like a champ. I'm not even going to hold you.
That did happen in the comics, yes. I agree.
So MJ definitely could have worked in the second movie. And also with the whole spy stuff with Peter Parker and her parents, we do not care.
That was weird, yeah. That didn't need to be in the movie. All right. I'm going to leave Venom alone. Yeah. Venom, let there be carnage.
Make it rated R. Literally, that's pretty much my only change. Make it rated R and have Carnage do his thing. Have him be a menace. And then have Venom. Like, if you want to have the whole, okay, Venom and Eddie, they're like going on a split.
Yes.
I mean,
yes. That was my thing. I relatively enjoyed the movie, but I think that's kind of what I was trying to say earlier, is that in the first movie, they kind of played into that. And, you know, obviously Tom Hardy was kind of like winging parts of it and carried that movie essentially. And they played too much into the room. They made it like a romance-esque type story in the second one. And so like the action, there wasn't a lot of action in it. And then, like you mentioned with Carnage, like he was going in, but they didn't show it the way comics books show it. So I think if you remove the romantic aspect of it and you let them bang out more, because they only fought one time, I believe.
Literally at the end, that's when they meet and fight.
Yeah, so I think there definitely needed to be a scene where like they fought beforehand, and then maybe if you want to do the separation, you can do that. But and then also with Screech, I think they should have made her the symbiote version.
I think she's fine.
She's in toxin, so.
I mean, yeah, but technically her character is not even a symbiote. So she's kind of fine as is, but.
Okay, but MJ and the Spider-Man 2.
Scream is a third symbiote whatsoever, but not connected to Screech, to Cletus Cassidy's girlfriend.
Okay. So that works then. Yeah. Yeah, so we kind of covered that. Oh boy, Morbius and Madame
Delete
Web.
And delete.
Go ahead and delete. There's nothing that can be saved with it.
None. All right. Actually, not on its own. If you want. Okay. I can think of it. I can think of it right now. At least with Morbius. In order for Morbius to actually work, you need Spider-Man in the movie. But if y'all are really hung up on not having having Spider-Man in your Morbius movie, trademarked by Sony Pictures, trademarked by Spider-Man, I mean, there is a certain vampire character in Marvel that I'm pretty sure y'all could use, and it's a certain brother with a fade. His name is Blade.
Do they own any rights to Blade? Because Marvel's making one. So
I do not think they do. Actually, double checking, no, they don't. Dang it.
We tried.
All right. Well, that is the case. R.I.P.
So with the deconstruction, I think here's the main problem post MCU loan. You're building a universe around someone that technically doesn't exist, and it doesn't connect. So one thing I'll say it now instead of the reconstruction. You can build movies and TV shows and all the likes off of characters that are not well known. Killmonger is not, unless you're a deep comic book Black Panther fan, not many people knew who Killmonger was. Most of us probably thought Claw was the main villain of the Black Panther movie. And Killmonger is either the second or third best villain, depending on how you rank Loki. And then also with Thanos' motivations in the comics is not the motivation that he had in the MCU. In the comics, you can explain better after I say this, his motivations are him being a simp for death.
I mean, there's no other better way to say it. He in love with death, because death in Marvel is a literal entity that embodies the whole concept of death. And yeah, both him and Deadpool got a thing for Mistress Death, but Mistress Death only got eyes for Deadpool. It's crazy. Yeah.
And if you like, you watch the first Avengers movie at the end, one of the dudes goes to Thanos and says, to fight the Avengers is to court death. Now, when I first heard that, I didn't know much about Thanos because I wasn't like big into it. Again, you can build a character and learn the biggest things. When he said that, I'm taking it as, oh, if you fight the Avengers, you about to get rocked like Loki did. But taking that into context in the comics, to court death, double entendre, is to court the embodiment of death. So, and then it ultimately turned into like, oh, he's balancing the universe, which is a much better, you know, motivation, or at least made him more compelling. So with that, you can, like, any show or TV show, movie created is based on people that you don't know to start with, and it's up to the writing. Yeah,
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy,
exactly,
nobody knew who they were.
It's up to the writing, direction, marketing, and then acting, a lot of those coming together for people to love it. And you get to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and it's like, we lost our best friends at the end of the movie. So I think a lot of direction is like, okay, you take a character you don't know, but then you don't know what to do with this set character. So that's one of my biggest problems with it. And then timing of the movie, I'm going to try to throw this movie a lifeline. Madam Web came out after the writers and actor strike. So promotionally speaking, I don't know what other touch-ups could have been done. And I believe Morbius came out right after or right in the midst of the pandemic. So, you know, you can only do so much. That's as much as I can say, those. But what I wanted to ask for my big question before we get into the reconstruction part, are all these movies as bad as we think? Because think about it, in No Way Home, obviously, like, Spider-Man 3 had left the bad taste in the mouth, the Tobey Maguire one. The Amazing Spider-Man left a bad taste in the a lot of people's mouth as well with that failing. And people were like, oh man, I don't even like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. That's not my Spider-Man. Tom Holland's the GOAT. I love Toby, but like, yo, Andrew isn't here. We get to the end of No Way Home and it's like, oh my gosh, they redeemed him. He's the best Spider-Man. All the love. Oh, he got to save MJ, but he didn't get to save Gwen. And just like all of that. And it's like the love that we had for it. We're like, oh, Sandman, Lizard, Electro, all the villains. I mean, there was actually really nothing wrong with most of the villains in any of the Spider-Man movies, but like they're going with like, okay, now it's all okay, you know? So sometimes it's like the way we remember things in the moment aren't always, or how we view things in the moment aren't always how we remember them. Even thinking of the Star Wars prequels, where when it came out, everyone hated it. And now whenever, you know, we see Hayden Christensen or Obi-Wan Kenobi and we're just, Ewan McGregor with only Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's just like, oh, fawning over yourselves, like, oh, the prequels were the best things that ever came out. So are we in the moment not remembering it as, you know, taking it too far?
All right, now you didn't open Pandora's box, boy. So first of all, let me go ahead and talk to all the prequel haters. In this time, right? So in my opinion, there are two lines thinking. One, y'all all a bunch of bandwagoners. Y'all all glazing my boys, and I need to smack every last one of y'all. And then number two is the fact that I saw a thing on Facebook. It was like, okay, all of the kids who loved the prequels are now old enough to speak louder than the adults who hated it. And that really stuck out to me because as a kid, again, loved the prequels. I loved them to death, still do. But the fact is that it was the adults who, like, all the critics who watched those movies, they were the ones that was speaking out rather than the target audience, which were like kids to teenagers. And now that the kid to teenagers grew up, are grown up to like our ages now and slightly older, they are able to like accurately voice like how we felt when those movies came out. Now, in the case of Spider-Man, however, I feel like it is completely different, all right? Because of the fact that like with those cases, at least in my case, I can't speak for everybody, but I feel like in a general case, everyone, they liked Andrew Garfield. They liked...
No. It was debatable.
No. Here's the thing. They liked the characters and they liked the actors. Their main gripes was with the story and execution of those characters. Like, they didn't lobby their hate against Andrew Garfield too heavy. It was mostly because they mostly levied their hate to Avi Arad and Amy Pascal for putting our boys in that situation type deal. So it was less... So, like, when it comes to, like, the characters, we we're fine with the characters unless you're Topher Grace Venom.
You gotta let that hit out your heart, man.
We can't. I am built on hatred. And as such, like, we don't have a problem with those characters. We just have a problem with how they were implemented and executed rather than the characters and actors in and of themselves, unless, again, you're Topher Grace and you're Venom.
That's fair. That's fair. I do think some people, like to the point you made, they simplified it. And then, okay, who's the main lead of it? Oh, Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man sucked from that perspective. And then when the movie rolled around, they were like, oh my gosh, he's so much more, pun intended, I guess, amazing than we initially thought. So with that, that's why I asked the question is of like, okay, maybe it's not, some aren't as bad. Like Venom 3, not Venom 3, Spider-Man 3, I don't actually hate it as much as some people do, but that I just wanted to ask that before we got into it. For Morbius and Madame Web, I don't think there's any hope.
There's none. As a matter of fact, just go ahead, cancel Kraven. Just go ahead, cancel that movie outright. And then Venom 3, you better have a certain god in there. I'm just saying.
It's called The Last Dance, so I don't know if that can be told in one. Yes, that's the name of the movie, Venom Last Dance.
There ain't no way.
So
first of all, I'll change the name.
I 100% agree because that gives me the feeling it's going to be very childlike in nature. But for this, we're wrapping up the deconstruction. Next, we're going to get into our sponsor break, followed by the reconstruction, which will rebuild this universe.
All right. For today's sponsor break, we have none other than the Spider Society. If you have been bitten by a radioactive, genetically engineered, or an extra-dimensional spider, or you somehow get your genes spliced with a spider, or you pilot a giant spider mech, come and join the Spider Society today, where you'll be led by none other than the Spider-Man of the Year 2099, as we go and take care of certain monkeys and certain people named Miles Morales. Because he is of a certain caliber and he is a mistake, come and join the Spider Society today.
All right. So this part is probably the most, for me, it's the most fun since we're both creatives. I like, you know, creating this new universe, but it's called the reconstruction. So we took apart things that, you know, obviously didn't work, but for this, I want to specifically do post-MCU loan. I don't want to touch anything in, like, before Amazing Spider-Man. And then, obviously, with the Spider-Verse, it's its own thing. So, with that, just a reminder of the rules for this section, or any section. Each person gets 3 vetoes. Again, cancels out an idea or proposal. And then each person gets 3 lock-ins, which supersedes a veto and locks it in. So, Meech, I know what you're going to lock in, but before we get to that part, I kind of just want to like lay out my initial vision for you.
All right. You have the floor for the moment.
All right. So obviously we need a center of the universe, but I don't want to do Miles as the center of the universe. And hear me out, because right now he's the lead of essentially this PS5 Spider-Man. The way they transition that. He's also the lead of the Amazing, the Spider-Verse franchise. At some point, you're going to kind of water down, you know, dilute your own product. So I don't want him to, I want him to be in the universe. I don't want him to be the center of it. I also don't want to do a multiversal story. Sony has established that everything that has happened in any medium with Spider-Man is canon and also part of the multiverse. So obviously whatever we tell is going to be part of that, but I don't want to tell a multiversal story. I kind of want to keep it centered in one universe with that. So for what I would like to do is to have the center of the universe with Eddie Brock, Venom. And I want the first two films of it to be of this universe to be Eddie Brock. Now hear me out. This is where we start to get interesting. To have a Spider-Man universe at some point, you need a Spider-Man. But I know a workaround where we don't have to worry about the MCU one. So with that, in the first movie, I kind of want it to be a Lethal Protector tale So him chilling in San Francisco, we get a Spider-Man in the movie, kind of like a team up. But what we set up in this is that by the end of the movie, we get a tease of Flash Thompson. And then when Peter goes back to New York, how we get our other Spider-Man, we get one that is more superior going from there. So that way, in the first two movies, they're Venom movies. After the second Venom movie, we get an offshoot of Agent Venom. And then eventually down the line, we get an offshoot of Superior Spider-Man, which gives us Spider-Man without it being Peter Parker, quote unquote.
Yeah, I like where you're going with that. But here's the issue with that, because at this point, because the main issue is, who is the Spider-Man?
That's the thing. We have the creative license to modify it, in a sense. Like, obviously, like, if we're going post-MCU alone, we can kind of play around with it and say, hey, this is a different universe, Peter C. Parker or something like that. Kind of like the way. He's only going to be, quote-unquote, a cameo in the first movie. Like, he has roles, he has talks, and I'm like, oh, okay, they have a Spider-Man. This is weird. Boom, by the end of it, Superior Spider-Man, that's not our Spider-Man. So like, that's at the end of the first movie, so we're not dealing with the issue. So technically, for the next few films, we don't have a quote-unquote Spider-Man, but we have Superior in the works. It's kind of, so we don't have a Peter Parker, so it's not a conflict in my estimation.
But then again, yeah, but then again, also again, with the whole like Sony loan and Sony deal, with the way that you kind of like put in the timeline, it's kind of going to like restrict the Tom Holland version. It's going to be like, oh yeah, eventually down the line, we're going to have a Superior Spider-Man, but we still got Tom Holland in the same time. And you know how studios are going to be when they're like, oh yeah, we can have two of a similar character on the screen in the same medium. People are going to get confused. And I know that's not what's going to happen, but that's what their line of thinking is going to, or specifically, that's what Abby Arad and Amy Pascal. So my first reconstruction is get rid of them two. You get rid of them two and make it us.
Lock it in.
We cook. We cook.
Lock it in.
Cook.
All right. So that's your first lock in. We are now the creative heads of the studio. But yeah, because like to your point, when Arrow was on the CW, I remember when they were making the first Suicide Squad movie, Arrow was in the middle of a Task Force X storyline, and they got rid of all those characters from the squad so people wouldn't be quote-unquote confused with the movie that was coming out. But for me, I think that the Superior Spider-Man, he's not even going to be the main. Again, Venom is the center of the universe. Agent Venom, Flash Thompson, is going to be like the co-center. He's going to be the Captain America to Venom's Iron Man, in a sense. Like, that's what our universe is built around. As the two main leads, we get a superior as, like, he's different, in a sense. That's kind of like, he's a substitute. Like, we don't necessarily have to have him, but for a Spider-Man, that's how we get one, without it being, okay, this is the third version of Miles, and story where people start to get tired of it, and then also, oh, a retread of Peter Parker. Unless you want to go the Ben Reilly route, which I know you don't.
I mean, I wouldn't have too much of an issue with Ben Reilly as long as he ain't Chasm. But
even if we do Ben Reilly, it's still a Spider-Man. So at some point, we have to come face to face with we either have or don't have a Spider-Man in our universe.
Yeah. I mean, no. I would say that way is actually completely dumb. But there is a workaround of having Venom in the universe and having kind of that logo, but not have Spider-Man in it at all.
I know we're getting to... hear me out. That's why I'm saying it's already established. Like, Venom and Spider-Man already know each other. That's why I'm saying, like, the first one is, like, Lethal Protector-esque, where Venom is the lead in it. And before we get to the big bad, I don't want that to be the main dominant one. There's a few other villains that I need your help with. He's going to be, like, the ultimate one, but we have to work to that.
Better be the Thanos of this verse.
This is where I need your help, because I'm not too familiar with Agent Venom or Superior Spider-Man villains.
Okay.
But for one that I do want to, obviously we're going to have Carnage. And that's going to be an R-rated movie. One I want to try is Moreland and the Inheritors.
Sir.
That would be interesting.
Not only would it be interesting, but here's the thing about that. So we're not going to do anything Spider-Verse related with that, right?
No. I know it's just like one of the storylines, but we're initially not.
Because I'm just saying, like, Moreland and the Inheritors, that has to be a far down the line type of threat. They have to be kind of like after.
But that's why I'm saying, because we have him.
Yeah, it's like, well, him is like here. Inheritors will probably have to be like here.
But hear me out. This is a universe that we have to continuously keep going. So that's why I'm saying it's like, it's not just like, oh, one movie, two movie, three movies, we're done with the trilogy. Congratulations. This is like, we're building it out. We're having multiple characters, multiple ops to contend with. That's why I'm like, before we get to him, we need an Ultron or a Loki-esque villain that occupies the initial phase of our franchise. And I know the Inheritors and Moreland are like Spider. They're literally like a Spider-Verse comic or Spider-Geddon comic for it. But yeah, I think we can do it in our universe.
It's like, you can do that or actually have Moreland be specifically a superior Spider-Man villain. Have him be like, we don't include any of the other Inheritors, but have him specifically for Spider-Man as kind of like either his number two or his number three villain. And why I say that, well, actually, no, have him be the number two, because number three has to be Green Goblin, because Goblin messed that man up twice.
Okay, who's number one for superior?
Okay. Number one for superior. It has to be somebody who, dang it, it can't be Kingpin.
Crap.
Can't be Kingpin. I was going to say, the Kingpin one was kind of goated. You could actually, it's like, you have two options with that. And it can be crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you can have it be like Alistair Smythe, or the Spider Slayer. And the reason why is because, like, in the eighth issue, he's probably like one of the only people who found out that Superior Spider-Man was not Spider-Man and died as a result of it. Like, was murdered, dead. And so, like, you could use him, or you have it be actual Peter Parker in the living robot, who's basically a robot duplicate, and kind of have it be like a struggle of, hey, I'm trying to get my body back from you. But then again, that would actually kind of defeat the purpose, because Superior Spider-Man, scratch that, get that out of here.
That's why I'm saying he's not one of the mains. He's like an offshoot. So when we throw in Moreland and that type, I think we just let that build out.
Yeah, so if that's the case, man, Superior really doesn't got like rogues of his. Oh, wait, hold up. Wait, dang it. I was going to say Blackout, but nope, that doesn't work either, because he's a Ghost Rider villain, and he's technically owned by the crew, so... Superior. And I can't do Carnage either, because we building out Carnage. Man, what? You know what?
Goblin? A version of Goblin?
Hobgoblin. Screw it. Screw it.
Let's make it first movie. First movie, Hobgoblin.
Yeah, first movie. Oh, wait. Let me cook. First All movie, right. Hobgoblin. He gets absolutely decimated. And, or number one, it can be Alistair Smythe, along with, like, a couple of villains, like Boomerang, the superior foes of Spider-Man. So, like, Boomerang, Shocker, Volt. Oh, wait, we already have Vulture. Never mind. Scorpion's technically teased, but not fully in it yet. So, and let's say we can use Scorpion. No, forget it. But like, have them be like cyberized and to fight Superior, or you do Hobgoblin.
Scorpion, the main villain. Hobgoblin, Scorpion.
No. Scorpion.
Scorpion can't hold his own, in your opinion?
Not to Superior. He gets his jaw punched off. All right, in like the first time he beats. Nah, he ain't hanging. But Hobgoblin, right? He fights him, and like, over time, like, you see, like, Superior Spider-Man, he killing folk. He beating the mess out of him. He putting the brakes on him. He fights Hobgoblin at the end of the movie, beats the brakes off of him, and then you see him go lick his wounds, and that's when he's approached by the actual Green Goblin to join the Goblin Nation, and that can be Superior Spider-Man 3 Goblin Nation. That's the third movie. And then, like,
second movie,
Moreland.
Second movie is him getting.
Is Moreland not more dangerous than Green Goblin?
No, not the superior. That's the crazy part. Because again, it's only him. We're only using him for the second movie. So you have just Moreland.
Okay.
And you can do whatever type of explanation needed to, like, explain how he gets there, but he fights Superior, and it can be just like the time when Peter fights him, gets the brakes beaten off of him, comes back, uses power of will and the power of friendship to kill Moreland. And all of that, you see how Goblin, he's like, oh, we see, like, how this man can be beaten and can be weakened, then go in the Goblin Nation, and then have Superior just lose control of the entire situation.
Okay. And then, so with that, again, just working back, I think that we can use Superior Spider-Man to introduce Black Cat reasonably.
So are we talking about him punching the daylights out of her, or like domestic abuse, or regular?
Regular introduction. We want to keep the universe going. With that, we can introduce Black Cat into the universe. She would recognize that, hey, this isn't Peter. And then I don't know for Agent Venom, just starting with Venom, do a Lethal Protector-esque story. So I don't know if we want Flash Thompson to either be post-war in San Francisco, deployed in San Francisco, get the symbiote from Eddie Brock, or if we want him to be post-war, you know, him having his wounds and everything in New York, and he get the symbiote from Peter, in a sense, where it's like Peter carried it unknowingly, and then that builds later into it.
Honestly, how I can try to see it is, okay, Eddie Brock is Venom, and like Flash Thompson, like he'd come back from the war, he already lost his legs, he already got taken out, you know, everything like that. But then you have Venom spawn an offshoot, and that goes to Flash, and he can be Agent Venom. You can make him Agent Anti-Venom if you want. As long as he just reads, because Venom, he spawns children. So just,
yes,
there you go.
All right. So with that first movie, Lethal Protector-esque, second one, do we want to start building to Carnage now or when? Because let's just say this, the big main villain of our universe is Noel. Lock it in.
Thank you.
So that's going to be the ultimate big bad. When do we want to do Carnage?
Okay, so Noel is the Thanos. He is the Infinity War and Endgame. If you want to do like the Ultron-esque I'm right. If you want to have it to be like an Age of Ultron-esque story, no. Age of Ultron, it has to be Codex. But if you want it to be like Loki, Carnage.
Yes.
So you build him out like immediately.
Okay, so even in the first one, we get teases of Carnage existing. Again, this is an established universe, so Carnage can already exist in this world.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, you can even just have like, okay, Carnage already killed like a bunch of people, or you can have him like be in jail already and have him like have A. Brock interrogate like Cletus Kasady in a kind of Silence of the Lambs style.
Mm.
Like, hey, who, like, because of the fact that the main villain, it can be like another serial killer, the Sin Eater. Boom, done. Ooh. All right. It could be the Sin Eater, and Eddie Brock needs Cletus's help to try to like capture him.
Is this the first movie?
Oh, this is 100% first movie, because okay. Sin Eater, he jobber levels. So
yes.
But like Sin Eater, he kind of gets some type of magical enhancement that makes him like more deadly. But like he needs like Cletus's help. He's like, hey, the only person who I know can be a serial killer, can think like a serial killer, is him.
Mm-hmm.
Have him help out, and maybe like at the end of the movie, you'd be like, yeah, like eventually I'm going to break out of here, Brock. And you can like have him like kind of tease their already pre-established relationship. And then by like the second, maybe even the third Venom movie, Cassidy breaks out. He out, and it's maximum carnage, baby.
Nice. Right. So we need either a second or third, just that we're not limited to trilogies, obviously, since this is the universe. But I'm thinking that he breaks out in the second movie, but someone else is the main villain of the second movie.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. Second movie can be, I mean, you can make it actually about the, oh wait, the jury can technically be part of part one, or it can be part two. It's like you can make it the jury, you can make it okay, I just thought about it. Technically, for the Venom movies, Scorpion is more of a threat to Venom than he is to Superior. Technically. Technically, you can do him.
Oh, we can make it where the scorpion is venomized in the second one.
Boom. There
And he gets venomized because of Carnage.
you go.
Okay, lock it in.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Right, so for that. So first movie, essentially Senator slash Jury, Lethal Protector S style. That's how we also get a quick team up with Spidey. So we can get the tease for Superior at the end of that movie. Also the invitation to Flash Thompson. Second Venom movie, Scorpion is venomized. Well, they fight, then he's venomized later in the movie due to Carnage, who he breaks out of jail. Third movie is Carnage, and then after the end of that movie, that's how we lead into Null.
Okay, so third movie, you think the third movie should be Maximum Carnage, or you think like Maximum Carnage should be its own kind of like full crossover movie where all of the spider characters got to come back?
Well, I'm thinking that's what it has to be, because by this time we should at least have one Agent Venom movie, and then also Superior would be established. And then again, we're not limited to just being a trilogy. So after that, then we can lead into the okay, Carnage, boom. Then we got Morlun and the Inheritors after Morlun wants to get his lick back. And then, but throughout that post-Carnage, we're teasing Null the entire time as the big bad. So that's working in the background. So by the time we get to Agent Venom movie two, movie three, we now have that established as okay, Null is here. And then maybe we get one more Venom movie as like a mini op. And then the fifth movie is boom, more not Morlun, Null is here, and you have to deal with that.
Okay. I can get down with that. I can get down with that.
Yeah. So then, for just with that, any other characters we can kind of offshoot, we would have three established characters. And by the time we get to, say, a Maximum Carnage or definitely the Inheritors, it can be the situation where Superior Spider-Man gives Peter his body back, but he becomes superior again, somewhere in that sense, where
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
okay, now we have another Spidey and Superior. The Tom Holland series should be over by then.
Yeah, you can. Actually, you can literally give him his body back and then have him have the clone body. So it's literally Superior Octopus. So, boom, Superior Octopus, Peter Parker, Spider-Man. You got Agent Venom, or in my case, like I would actually want him to be Agent Anti-Venom.
Yeah, I
So
wonder about.
that way, like you have less issues. Like maybe at the end of like his offshoot, like you can have like the version of him that is Agent Venom. Like you can have him like be Agent Venom and then even have him be it for one movie, but at the end of that movie he goes anti-Venom. So boom, done. You have Black Cat, you get of course Eddie.
And then I think by the time we get to Morlun, again, I don't want to really tell a multiversal story, but the inheritors are essentially kind of multiversal to an extent. So that's how we can get a Miles, like where he accidentally gets knocked into our universe situation.
Yeah, you could do that. Could do that.
Or like it's also been established that Miles and Peter are going at the same time. So throughout the course of this, we just haven't told a story with Peter, or with Miles in it. So I don't know how you want to go in that direction.
To have both Miles and Peter have like the mentorship kind of like similar to Insomniac Verse.
Or like I feel like Miles would be more established because Peter is off the map. We could have Miles interact with Superior in one of his movies.
Oh yeah, and get backhanded. Yeah, that can work. That can work too. Ooh, wait, at the end of Goblin Nation, because you can like have Miles introduced in that one. Be like hey, part like, or should I say Otto Octavius? You screwed the whole pooch up. Everything is out of control. I can't handle this by myself. You either need to lock in. Or get Peter his body back, cause you ain't able to do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. And we definitely can't do it together because we got beef.
Okay. All right. So I think I like what we got. So all we need to do is establish the Agent Venom movies. And I think we're solid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Easy, easy, easy. Crime Master. Like, boom, boom.
If you want to explain that.
Okay. So essentially, Crime Master is kind of like his overarching bad guy and like his first main arc. Essentially, Crime Master is basically Kingpin. And he also has his own version of the Sinister Six called the Savage Six. And Age of Venom also has his own version of Green Goblin slash the Joker in the form of Jack-O-Lantern.
Let's not do a goblin, unless it's going to tie into the Green Goblin Nation.
Technically, he's not a goblin. Not a goblin whatsoever.
That's the fire. I know what you're talking about, but it's so close.
It's close, but it's actually far enough. It's far enough away. And plus, like, that specific version of Jack-O-Lantern is 100% his arch nemesis.
Okay.
Like, you can't do anything Agent Venom related without addressing that version of Jack-O-Lantern.
Okay. That's a movie.
At least, because he did some heinous activity. Like he got his dad, like, disemboweled.
Jeez.
Like, I'm telling you, he was on demon time. So Jack-O-Lantern has to be in there.
And then I think that there has to be null symbiote related.
100 toxin.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Ooh, wait, hold on. But the toxin version, right? Because that version of toxin that beats on Agent Venom is Eddie Brock. So actually, I got a perfect substitute. Lee Price.
Okay, perfect.
And have him take the Maniac symbiote. Boom. Done.
All right. So just to kind of summarize this for our listeners, I believe we have at least 11 movies in the pipeline. So we start with Venom, who is the center of the universe. His first movie being the Lethal Protector-esque story where it's told in San Francisco. His main villain is either the Sin Eater slash the Jury combination. We have a quick cameo slash team up with Spider-Man. Through that interaction at the end of the movie, we do get the tease for a Superior Spider-Man, at least the body swap part. And then we also get the offshoot of where we tease Agent Venom as well. Second movie is going to be another Venom movie that ties into the Scorpion being the main villain. With that, also Scorpion he breaks out Carnage and gets minimized because of Carnage. So with that tying in, then we can go into the Agent Venom, with the underlying Agent Venom is going to be mostly responsible for the Noel storyline progressing. But we have the Crime Master and Jack-O-Lantern. At the same time, I think that's when we can introduce Superior Spider-Man into his own movie, with his first villain being the Hobgoblin, correct?
Yep.
All right. And then in the second movie being Morlun. So from there, this is where our first, I believe, team up would need to be the Maximum Carnage movie, would be the third Venom movie due to that progression. The next movie. So would we want to go Lee Price, Noel, or would we want to go Green Goblin Nation?
I'd say Goblin Nation, then... Yeah, Goblin Nation and then Lee Price, so that way it leads to Null.
Okay, so...
Everything leads to Null.
It always does. So, with the Maximum Carnage, this is when we get the established Spider-Man coming back into our universe. At this time, we should be good in terms of movies. So that means we're going to see a quick appearance of Miles, just for the Maximum Carnage storyline. Then also a quick... we have Superior Octopus. Oh, what you got? What you got?
I just cooked in my head. All right. At the end of Goblin Nation, you want to know what Green Goblin's plan is?
Why?
Because remember, we just finished Maximum Carnage, right?
I know what you're about to say. Go ahead.
We just finished Maximum Carnage. At the end of Goblin Nation, what is Norman Osborn, Green Goblin's plan? Red Goblin.
Yes. Lock it in. All right, so with that, that can also now be an offshoot of either Superior or our now established Spider-Man character, because at this point, I think we can give Dr. Octopus the end of his run and go to Superior Doc Ock, in a sense. Then from there, we get into our next crossover, Morlun, after the Lee Price Null. So we get Morlun and the rest of the Inheritors. We're going to keep it from being too multiversal. This is another team-up movie, And then after, we can get two movies of Venom essentially carrying into Null.
Good, good.
Like a part one, part two, because that's a big storyline, so.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because, like, the first part, you kind of got to do the, you know, Grendel dragon, Venom get his wings, and have him go off. And
so, since he's the center of the universe, he's going to be in at least 5 to 6 movies with crossovers. Is Dylan born throughout this process? Because he plays a big role in the...
Oh, 100%. 100%. Dylan has to be there. And depending on fan reception and if he's likable or not, at the end of King in Black, we can make him Venom.
Okay, so...
To keep it going.
So our essentially final movie is King in Black of this. And then from there, obviously, we would have to offshoot again, but we don't need to go that far. So...
Yep.
All right, so I think that's pretty good. We got like at least 11, 12 movies, and then 3 established characters that actually can legitimately carry the universe. And then also, we have our Miles if we want to tell that story later on, get a little bit of space, like after the King in Black storyline where we have Dylan, we have Miles as well. So we have some separation from the Spider-Verse series. We can do another Spider-Man because by then the MCU would ideally be done with him. So yeah, I think we got it.
Yeah, hopefully that would be, hopefully there is a multiverse where that is, that did happen, and I would like to gain the speed for it so that way I can travel to said universe.
Wait, we did a little too much agreeing. I want one veto. So I want to introduce Paul into the
veto. Veto immediately, you. Actually, no. The only way we introduce Paul is if... Oh my goodness, I'm cooking again. All right, so at the end of the Goblin Nation storyline, the Sin Eater somehow came back, take the sins out of the Goblin, and planted them into Peter, have Peter in that black suit, and give him the Venom symbiote just because we can, and then he murders Paul.
I'm gonna beat up that.
No, you. All right. See how it is.
It's just because after Green Goblin Nation, we're at the end. We're at the end of the Superior Spider-Man run, and then we want to like give Peter his own shine again, not making him black suit murderer.
You know, fun. Also, at a certain point, we have to do Superior Venom in there.
Mm. That's reasonable. I mean,
make it part of the Mormon movie.
Yeah, possibly. So with that kind of like establishing him as his own, like, you know, villainous heroic self. So with that, I think we're set. Anything else you want to add?
I win. Everything leads back to Null.
I knew you were gonna do it, so I was like, I'm not even gonna fight this.
Nope. Let's just say Null is inevitable.
Man, I hope they make a Null movie for you one day. All right, so
I hope they don't. I'm not even gonna lie. I don't want to see my goat get decimated on screen.
So with that, we're gonna do a quick what's hot. Just as a note, we are recording this Tuesday of last week when you're hearing it. So April 9th. Not a lot of new stuff since our last episode has come out. So anything new means that you are seeing.
I mean, WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it for my end. Like, this is
the story is finished.
The story is finished, and also go Loser Ranger. That's about it.
All right. So for me, you mentioned WrestleMania, Konosuba season 3 again. One that I forgot to mention was Reincarnated as a Slime. Season 3 has returned, so I'm excited for that. The Maxine trailer. So if you're...
Oh,
yes, that dropped recently, which I was super excited for. And then Joker Part 2 trailer is dropping tonight, about in 20 minutes from when we're ending up our recording. So that's the... essentially end of the episode. Just some housekeeping. We are going to enter our philosophy of pain over the next course of the next 3 weeks. So we're doing character studies of Pain from Naruto, Scar from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and then Eren Yeager. So just talking about pain, trauma, and how that kind of leads to the certain actions of all three characters. So with the character study, we just kind of go into that and then break them down as characters. So let's do some any recommendations you have. I got the Superior Spider-Man comic book, which I'm about to start reading, which you'll be happy about.
Good. Mine is the Donny Cates Venom. Just read that and you'll be good.
All right. So with that, let's do the plugs and get up out of here.
All right. So we got our Instagram and our Twitter at X formerly known as Twitter and Threads under Blurred City 22. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell for all notifications. We have our Discord linked in our Instagram page. We have our YouTube under Blurred City Pod. That's where, and we also have a Patreon under the same name. If you want to donate some extra cheddar, get access to exclusive episodes never before seen. Then after that, we have ourselves our email address, blurredcity22@gmail.com. And that's where you can submit episode suggestions, your thoughts on the deconstruction, reconstruction, geek out, freak outs, random fan theories, and the like. And also any complaints that will be levied against me in particular, you can go ahead and put that, because it goes right to the spam folder. Never to see the light of day. And then finally, I am the Jedi running on TikTok, however long we got TikTok left, as well as on Instagram for whatever projects you may have. What you got?
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, Mitri_dash. That is METRI_DASH. For my X/Twitter, that's @TheMadDash16. And if you're interested in my sequel book, Phantom Reckoning, A Most Regular Tale, that is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So any words of encouragement you want to leave the people with?
Remember, at the end of the day, and you have all the, you're just sitting around alone, and you're going through dark times, and you are just going through it. You may have any dark spots in your day. Just remember, everything leads back to Null, and you'll be all right in the symbiote hive mind.
And I think that's where we can leave it. So as we always say, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See you later.